Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a tape haze edit from scratch in Ableton Live 12, using stock devices only, and keeping it focused on drum and bass bass lines. Now, what is a tape haze edit? Think of it like a short switch up, where the bass line gets a little smeared, a little unstable, almost like it's passing through an old warped cassette machine. It's not a full breakdown, and it's not just random sound design. It's a musical moment with intention. In drum and bass, that matters because a loop can get static pretty quickly if nothing changes. A tape haze switch-up gives you a controlled burst of chaos where the bass mutates, the drums ghost and chop, and the groove resets with more tension. We're going to keep this beginner-friendly, but the result should still feel like a real production technique you can use in a track. By the end, you'll have a 4-bar loop with a clean sub, a hazy mid-bass, a think break-style drum switch-up, and some basic automation so the whole thing feels designed. Not accidental. First, let's set up the project. Open a new Ableton Live set and set the tempo to 174 BPM. That's a classic drum and bass starting point. Then create two MIDI tracks and name them SUB and MID bass. If you want, also create one drum track or a drum rack for the break edit. Keep the session small for now. Just 4 bars, one bass idea and one break idea. That keeps your decisions fast and your ears focused. Let's build the sub first, because in drum and bass the sub is the anchor. On the SUB track, load operator. Operator is great here, because it's clean and straightforward. Turn on oscillator A only and set it to a sine wave. That gives you a pure low-end foundation with no extra noise. Now write a short bass MIDI pattern. Dark DNB keys like F minor, G minor, or A minor are all good starting points. Keep the notes low, and keep them short. A simple pattern of 8th notes with space between hits is a great beginner move. Now add a compressor after operator and turn on sidechain if your kick is on another track. This helps the kick punch through while the sub ducks out of the way. You don't need to overthink the settings. A ratio around 3 to 5 to 1 is a good range. Attack somewhere between 1 and 10 milliseconds, and release around 50 to 120 milliseconds. The goal is just to let the kick and sub work together without fighting. Now we build the mid-bass, which is where the character lives. On the MID bass track, load Waveedable. You could use operator or even simpler, but Waveedable is a nice beginner-friendly choice because you can get a solid tone quickly. Use a simple saw or square-based sound. Keep the unison low or even off, so things don't get too wide too early. Then open the filter and low-pass it somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz to start. That helps focus the sound and gives us room to shape it later. After the synth, add saturator. A little drive goes a long way here. Try somewhere around 2 to 8 dB, and turn on soft clip if the sound starts to feel too sharp. Saturation gives the bass that slightly pushed, tape-like edge. After that, add auto filter. You can use a low pass or a band pass depending on the tone you want. If you want a bit of movement, add a small amount of LFO modulation. Keep it subtle. This is not meant to sound like a huge wobble bass. It's just enough motion to make the sound feel alive. If you want a bit of width in the mids, add chorus ensemble, but keep it light. Around 10 to 20% wet is plenty. Remember, we're keeping the sub clean and the haze in the mid-range. This is a really important mindset in this lesson. Think in layers. The sub does weight. The mid-bass does character. The break edit does movement. If one layer tries to do everything, the result usually gets muddy fast. Now let's write the bass phrase. Create a 4-bar MIDI clip on the MID bass track. Use a call and response shape. Maybe bars 1 and 2 play one rhythmic idea, bar 3 gives an answer, and bar 4 creates a little gap before the switch-up. Keep the notes short and punchy. In drum and bass, rhythm matters more than note count. A simple phrase with a few well-placed hits will usually feel heavier than a crowded line. A good beginner starting point is to place bass hits on the 1, the end of 2, and 3. Then leave a bit of space. That space is important. It gives the drums room to breathe, and it makes the edit feel intentional when it arrives. If the groove feels stiff, try nudging one note slightly earlier or later. Those tiny timing changes can make a huge difference in drum and bass. Now we'd add the haze. On the MID bass track, after your saturation and filter, add redux if you want that degraded, slightly lo-fi edge. Use it lightly, a small amount of downsampling, somewhere around 1.5x to 4x, is usually enough. If the sound gets too crunchy, back it off. We want blurred, not destroyed. Then add echo or delay. Keep the feedback low, maybe 10 to 25%, and use low cut and high cut so the delay doesn't clutter the mix. This gives the sound a smeared tail without taking over the whole track. After that, add reverb very sparingly. You want haze around the edges, not a giant washed-out bass. A decay around 0.8 to 2 seconds, a short pre-delay, and a very low wet amount is usually enough. If the low end starts getting messy, use EQ8 and trim some of the low mids around 150 to 400 Hz. A quick teacher tip here, if the effect feels cool but weak, don't just turn it up. Often in drum and bass, the arrangement is what sells the moment, not the amount of reverb. Less haze can actually feel bigger if the contrast is right. Now let's move to the drums and make the think break style switch up. Create a drum rock or load a short break sample into a track. If you're using a sample, you can chop it in simpler with slice mode, or you can use warp markers in clip view to cut it manually. The goal is to make a short, restless one-bar switch up with kick, snare, ghost taps, and chopped break fragments. A think break style pattern usually feels syncopated and alive, but not overfilled. You don't want every beat packed. For example, you might start with a kick and a low break hit on beat 1, a snare on beat 2, a ghost note or two between 2 and 3, then another kick or chop on beat 3, and a snare pickup into the next bar. That little bit of space is what makes the groove breathe. Add drum bus on the drum group if you want a bit more weight. Keep the drive modest, and don't overdo the boom if your sub is already strong. The point here is to give the chopped break a bit of glue and punch. Now we make the whole thing feel like a transition, not just a loop. Open automation mode and automate at least two things. A really effective combo is the auto filter cutoff on the mid bass and either the reverb, wet or the echo feedback. Over the last half of bar 3 into bar 4, slowly pull the filter down from around 200 Hz to something closer to 80 or 120 Hz. At the same time, increase the reverb or delay slightly so the sound starts to blur. You can also automate saturator drive up a little for the switch up section. Just a little. Tiny moves are often enough. If you want a more tape-like feel, try a slight downward pitch movement on a short resampled bass fragment. Even a small bend can make the edit feel unstable in a really musical way. Now here's a powerful move. Resample the result. Once the bass and break interaction feels good, route them to a new audio track and record the output, or freeze and flatten if that works better for you. Resampling is useful because it turns a layered moment into a single editable audio phrase. After you bounce it, trim the audio tightly, fade the edges so you don't get clicks, and warp it if needed so it stays locked to the grid. Then slice the best parts, maybe one clean hit, one smeared hit, and one noisy tail. That's your tape haze edit material. Now you've got something you can drop into the arrangement like a real production tool. Let's place it in context. Put your main drop idea into a 16-bar section. A good place for the tape haze edit is at the end of bar 8 or bar 16, where it can act like a reset before the groove comes back in. You can think of it as a small but important structural event. The track is already established, so the haze moment feels like variation, not confusion. That's a big arrangement lesson in drum and bass. Edits land best when the listener already understands the main loop. Once the groove is familiar, even a short switch up can hit really hard. Now let's check the mix. Put utility on the bass group and check that the sub stays mono. That's essential. The mid bass can have some width, but the low end should stay centered. Use EQ8 to cut muddy low mids if needed, and high pass any non-bass elements that are taking up unnecessary low end. Your kick and sub should feel like the foundation of the track. If the kick disappears, don't just turn everything up. Instead, reduce the overlap between kick and sub. Also, keep some headroom. As a beginner, it's smart to leave the master peaking around minus 6 dB while you're building. That gives you space to mix without clipping yourself into a corner. If the tape haze effect feels a little too subtle, that's okay. In this style, the groove and arrangement often matter more than the amount of effect. A strong rhythm with a restrained effect usually sounds heavier than a huge washed-out one. A few common mistakes to watch out for. Don't make the sub too busy. Fewer notes is usually better. Don't put reverb on the pure sub. Keep the haze on the mid-bass for the resampled edit. Don't overdo saturation to the point where the bass loses weight. If the switch-up feels random, base it on the original groove and only change one or two elements. And don't forget automation. Without it, the edit can feel pasted on instead of arriving naturally. A few pro moves if you want to push this darker or heavier. Try a tiny pitch drift on the mid-bass for tape-like instability. Add ghost notes in the break edit so it feels more alive. Keep the haze frequency specific by blurring the mids, not the sub. And if you want the return to hit harder, create a tiny vacuum before the edit by removing a kick or thinning the drums for a beat. Here's a quick practice exercise for you. Make a 1-bar tape haze switch up at 174 BPM. Build a basic sub and mid bass. Write a 2-bar bass loop with only 3 to 5 notes. Add saturator, auto filter, and a touch of echo to the mid bass. Chop a 1-bar break into a think break style rhythm. Automate the filter down over the last half of the bar. Resample it. Then make one version that's more hazy and one version that's drier and punchier, and compare which one keeps the groove stronger. And that's the core idea. Keep the sub clean and mono. Put the haze on the mid bass or the resampled edit. Use a think break style drum switch up to route the variation in drum and bass. Automate filter, saturation, echo, or reverb so the moment evolves. And when the idea works, resample it, because that makes it easier to control and easier to arrange. Small, musical, rhythm-first edits are where a lot of the magic lives in drum and bass. So don't chase huge complexity. Build a solid groove, smear it just enough, and let the switch up do its job.